rules the nations with truth and justice. Aren't you glad that that's who's really in control in with everything that's going on? That's it is amazing grace that's one of those songs that I appreciate the message of. We are in a study of 1 Corinthians. If you happen to be have missed a few weeks or be visiting, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And I invite you to find that place in your copy of God's Word. And last week we finished up 1 Corinthians 11. And what we looked at were six rules for communion. And we celebrated communion last week. And the first rule was you must have responded to the gospel. You must have accepted the truth of the gospel, repented for your sins, and become a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you haven't obeyed that rule for communion, then you can't celebrate and the rest of the rules don't apply. If you have, then the next rule is don't come for the wrong reasons. Don't come for the wrong reasons. Why do you come to celebrate communion? Do you give any thought to why you come and what we're celebrating? The third rule was come with the goal of unity. Come with the goal of unity. We have no reason to boast or be arrogant when we come to celebrate communion because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We are all equal. No one is better than anyone else. No one is deserving. We all are here only because of the grace of the gospel and the grace of the cross. When you come, remember that your relationship with those around you in the church is only because of God's grace. There should be unity with other believers because you all recognize what God has done for you, that you are all in the same boat, and that you are all celebrating for the same reasons. Come planning to put others first. Even during communion, we should not be selfish, self-centered, because we are celebrating the most and remembering the most unselfish act that was ever done in the history of the universe. When you think about yourself, what do you think about? When you think about others, what do you think about? When you think about yourself compared to others, even during communion, what are you thinking about? How are you putting others first, even while you are celebrating and remembering what God has done for you? And then you're supposed to come prepared. Examine yourself, Paul told us. That's not just preparing moments beforehand. We give you that opportunity to ensure that if you have had something happen before you've come to church, that you can make sure you deal with it. But you shouldn't be dealing with sin only once a month and only at communion. Communion should not be the only time that you confess your sin to God. And we also learned that coming prepared means we don't celebrate in an unworthy manner. As a ritual, as a routine, we don't just go through the motions. We take it seriously. We stop and think and remember. And if you cannot celebrate communion in a worthy manner, Paul says, don't. Don't do it. Get things right. Come prepared the next time. Wait until you can. And the last rule we talked about was come to remember. Remember, you were dead and I was dead in my sins. Jesus made you alive. You were God's enemies. Now you are God's children. Remember what Jesus suffered during his crucifixion and before was because of you and your sin. He was your substitute. He removed the barrier of sin that separated you from God. He gave you his righteousness. God views you in light of Jesus Christ now, not in light of your righteousness. You are united with him, and he is alive and will return. How did it go this past week? Living like who you are, following God's rules and dealing with sin and being prepared for communion. So if we had pop communion this morning, not a pop quiz, but pop communion, unannounced, would you be ready? After you learned the rules, would you be ready? If we gave you a couple of minutes, would you be ready? That's the kind of way we approach communion, is that we can be ready at any time to celebrate and remember as a body of Christ. That finishes up chapter 11, and before we jump into chapter 12, when was the last time you got a present? When was the last time you got a present or a gift? Now, when you received that gift, before you opened it, what were you thinking about? What were you thinking about? Well, what's in it? Who gave it to me? Is it something I asked for? Is it something I need? Is it something I want? Will I like what's in that gift? When do I get to open it? When do I get to use it? Or, depending on what it is, when do I get to play with it? Now, what if I can't do this because of the online thing. They'll lose me on the camera. I wanted to walk down front, but I didn't prepare Adam for that. If I walked down and handed you this gift, it's not a Christmas gift. I know it's Christmas paper. It's not your birthday. It's not your anniversary. It's not related to graduation, the birth of a baby, a wedding. What would you be thinking if I handed you this gift? What questions would you have? Well, some of the same ones I just listed, and there's probably a lot more. You'd probably be a little concerned, a little nervous, a little worried. What's in it? Is it something I asked for and Pastor Brian's just giving it to me? Do I want it? Do I need it? Will I like it? And most of all, why? Why is Pastor Brian giving me a gift? What's the reason? What is he thinking? Is it something he thinks I need? What does he want from me? Why does he think I need what's in that box, in that gift? What's inside? What if a box just showed up on your porch or on your doorstep? Came in the mail, UPS, FedEx, whatever, they dropped it off. You come home and it's there. Just your name and address on it. No card, no return address, no other information, just a box. And whatever happens to be in that box. It's addressed to you, so you know it's for you. Now we have all the same questions, plus who is it from? Why are they sending it? Is it really a gift? Is it a prank? Is it a gag? Is it something worse? With this in mind, let's read our text this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one it is given the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts and healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So if you didn't get the idea, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts this morning, and I asked a lot of questions. We're going to answer some questions about spiritual gifts, specifically four answers. Before we answer them and talk about spiritual gifts further, let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for the privilege it is to open your word. We thank you for the gifts that you have given us as we are challenged to examine ourselves of how we're using them or if we even know what they are. May we start where we are and work with the gifts you've given us. Find out what they are and apply them for your glory and for the spread of the gospel here in Newfield and around the world. Lord, I ask that you would use me this morning, that I would be clear, I would communicate well, and that your word would be handled properly, that I would not be a distraction, that the technology would work in ways that amplifies and accentuates the truth of your word to help people grasp and understand. Most of all, Lord, may each one of us, wherever we find ourselves in the process of our spiritual gifts, that we would be taking the next step, that we would be doers of your word this morning and not just hearers. We thank you for the privilege of publicly proclaiming the truth of your word. We ask that you would be pleased with what's said and done in our response to your truth and your word this morning. We ask this all in your name. Amen. So four answers about spiritual gifts this morning. The first question we're going to answer is, what are they and what aren't they? What are they and what aren't they? Starting in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Paul doesn't want the Corinthians or us to be ignorant, to be unaware, not to know. The word translated ignorant in the New King James is actually related to the word agnostic. An agnostic is a person who believes that nothing can be known about God or the existence of God. We are not to be agnostics about spiritual gifts. We're not to be agnostics about spiritual gifts. We're not to think we can't know anything about them or nothing can be known about them. Nothing, or the spiritual gifts are a mystery. There's no way we can know. Paul says you don't want to be that. You shouldn't be that. So spiritual gifts are not or aren't. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Natural talents, skills, abilities are granted by God just as everything good and worthwhile is a gift from him. But natural abilities are shared by believers and unbelievers alike. What does this mean? Natural talents or abilities have nothing to do with being a disciple, a believer in Jesus Christ, or a Christian. They are part of what is called common grace. It is given to everyone. God blesses believers and unbelievers alike with natural talents and abilities. It doesn't matter whether you're an unbeliever, an atheist, an agnostic, or if you worship a false god or an idol or a false religion. With any of those categories, God grants the ability to be a doctor, a scientist, a musician, a mechanic, an athlete, an engineer, a chef, a carpenter, on and on. The natural abilities you have are a gift from God, but they're given to everyone. And as a believer, we should be using those for ministry and for God's purposes and God's plan. We have a different approach, a different thought process, different reasons and goals when we use them. But it's not unique to being a believer, and they're not the same as spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts aren't, but spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. They're not natural. They're only given to believers, to disciples, to Christians. And there's three main words that we want to have you understand, to help you understand this in the New Testament. The first one is charisma, and that's actually in verse 4. Therefore, diversities of charisma, gifts, but the same Spirit. The word charisma, you may realize, sounds like charismatics, and we talk about that today with people who believe and the exercising every gift listed in Scripture happens today. The word literally does not mean that. It means beauty, grace, and favor. To use as a verb, when God says he gives charisma, he gives, he shows favor, he shows grace to us. If you know someone named Charis, it also comes from this word, the idea of grace. You're all charismatics. I just want you to know that. You're all charismatics because you have received the grace of a spiritual gift. Now, that doesn't mean the same thing as we talk about charismatics, but you have received the grace, the charisma of a spiritual gift if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. The second word is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos, the word from pneuma, meaning spirit. It actually comes from verse 12, the first half. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, pneumatikos, the emphasis is on the source of the gift. It's from the Holy Spirit of God. In your Bible, some of you may have a note, or the word gifts may actually be italicized, because in the original language, it's not there, but it doesn't make sense to say, now concerning the spiritual. We need to understand from the context, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. The emphasis is on the spiritual gifts aren't intended to make a scene. They aren't intended to draw attention to the person using the gifts. They are intended to draw attention to and glorify the giver of the gift, the source of the gift. Spiritual gifts are intended to draw attention and glorify God, to draw attention to and glorify God. That's the purpose of spiritual gifts. The third word is marismos. Marismos. It's talking about division or dividing. And it can be a negative thing, but it also can be a positive thing. It's not used in our text this morning. God also bearing witness with both signs, wonders, various miracles, and marismos, gifts or divisions of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The emphasis is that God divides and distributes gifts not just to individuals, but to within a church in the ways that he thinks is best, consistent to his will, his plan, in accomplishing them. So what are spiritual gifts? They are divine enablements for ministry. Some people would say they're characteristics of Jesus Christ that are manifested in the local church. Okay, Pastor Brian, that's really sort of maybe partially helpful, but what are they? What are these gifts, the enablements, the abilities you're talking about? Well, let's go to verse 8 of our text in 1 Corinthians. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another differing kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the problem is, this isn't the only list. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's from Romans chapter 12. But that's not the only list. Ephesians chapter 4, and he himself, talking about God, gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And then Peter talks about them, saying, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. Amen. Why are the lists different? Why isn't there just one master list? Or why aren't they all the same? Is one partial? Is one complete? How do I fit them together? Unfortunately, Bible scholars do not agree, and I can't give you an answer about the exact number and distinction of the kinds of gifts. Because scriptural lists are not identical, it seems clear that God did not intend to give his church either a rigid or precise and exhaustive compilation, but rather general categories. Are all those gifts that I just listed, tongues, prophecy, miracles, healings, are they all going on today as we understand it? No. Because Paul in the next chapter is going to say this, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, gift, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, the gift, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, the gift, it will vanish away. We would argue and understand that Paul clearly described that some of these gifts were temporary, and especially it seems to be the one that were called miraculous or revelatory. Part of God's divine plan was during the forming of the church and the spreading of the gospel in the New Testament, these were going on, and as that completed, they have disappeared or are not in use anymore. Spiritual gifts, what are they and what aren't they? Next question, when do I get my gift? When do I get to open it? Verses 1 through 3 of our text this morning. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make it known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul introduces the topic. He's left chapter 11 in the dealing with the issues of communion. He says, we're moving into a new topic. But I want you to know that there's a difference between unbelievers and believers, Christians and non-Christians. We've already seen that natural talents are given by God to everybody. Spiritual gifts aren't. They're only given to believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we have to think back a ways. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. When we accept the gospel, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, many things happen, and one of them is you are given a spiritual gift. At the very moment of salvation is part of what Paul will talk about in 2 Corinthians, becoming a new creation is getting and receiving that gift. What are spiritual gifts? When do we get them? Who decides what I get? Who decides what I get? Look at verses 7 through 11 of our text this morning. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one it is given through the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Drop down to the first part of verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. God decided a lot of things for you before you were even born, at the moment of conception, how tall you would be, what color hair you would have, what color eyes you would have, do you need glasses, do you need braces, would you be, how would your body shape or body type be, what ethnicity you would be. He decided that for you. What time in history you would be born, what location in the world you would be born, who your parents would be. We could go on and on and on. Just like he decided all that for you and more, he decided not only what natural gifts to give you, but what spiritual gifts to give you. Each believer becomes as unique spiritually as his fingerprints are physically. God decided that's what you needed. That's what you would have. So, Pastor Brian, if I got this gift, how do I open it? When do I know? When I know when I got it, I'm saved. How do I know what I have? Which one? Or which ones? How do I find out? When can I open that gift? Well, first of all, make sure you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because you're not going to open a spiritual gift without being a believer in Jesus Christ. So then, the second step is, what's your walk with Christ like? Are you growing? Are you growing in your relationship with God? Are you spending time regularly in His Word, praying with or for yourself and for others? Ask Him to help you recognize and identify and use your gifts. That's step two. Step three, be in community, building relationships with other people, growing closer, more transparent, more authentic in relationship. Serve with them, study with them, fellowship with them. Be involved in Ironman, ladies' Bible study, small groups, moms meetup. Talk with them. Talk with them about where you're growing, where you're struggling. Talk with them about what you're reading, what you're learning in God's Word. Ask them for their view. Get their input. Listen to what others have to say about how God has gifted you naturally and spiritually. Okay, the problem is here, as soon as someone says you have or you might have this gift, we say, no, that's not me. Don't dismiss or reject what others have to say about your spiritual gifts. Consider it. Think about it. Explore it. Don't dismiss or quickly reject what they have to say about your spiritual gift. So if you're at that point, here's the next step you can take. Take a spiritual gifts inventory or assessment, or they call it a quiz or a test. You can't, by the way, you can't fail it, so don't worry about that. You can't fail this test. Okay, and this is not gospel. This is a tool to help you to look at what God has shaped and molded you and what He has given you. It's a tool. It's not gospel. It's not set in stone. It simply helps you gain some perspective and some insight. Talk about the results of that quiz or that test with your family, with people who know you well, with your small group. Look at how God has gifted you. Now, many people stop at step one. I'm a believer. I'm good. I'm going to go to heaven. They never go any farther. So I want to say, if you're there, take the next step. Some stop at step three. Some others say, you have this gift. Nope, that's not me. God didn't gift me that way. That's not me. I'm not going to do that. Some of you may have gone to step four and know what your spiritual gifts are. You've taken the test, you recognize it, and you say, this is how God has gifted me. Where are you in this process, and what's the next step? Maybe you've gone through all four steps. You know what your gift is. There's still more steps for you and for me. Because you have been given a gift, because you have opened up this box and you know, and even if you haven't, you're still accountable for what's in this box. It's not enough just to know I have a gift. It's not enough just to know I've opened the gift and I know what's in it. It's not enough that I can say, yes, tell someone says, what's your spiritual gift? Well, it's this, this, and this. You're accountable for what you do and what you don't do with what's in the box, even if you never open it. So there's a fifth step. Exercise your gift. I know we all hate exercise. You know, we don't like it. It gets all sweaty and I have to get off the couch. I say exercise intentionally. Yes, it is a gift from God, and yes, it is supernatural. And yes, He is going to help you be effective when you use it. But it's not like I open up this box and it's like turning on a light switch. I'm the best teacher. I'm the best preacher. I'm the best giver that there is. I'm the best person showing mercy that there is. You don't discover or recognize you have a talent for music and overnight become a world-famous musician or singer. Ask Ethan how many hours he has put into practice on that piece of equipment right there. It's a lot. He didn't just start out one day and get where he is the next. You don't find out that you are an athlete or have athletic ability, and the next day you're signing a multi-million dollar contract with Nike or with an NFL team. It's no different with spiritual gifts. You don't discover your gift one day. I have the gift of teaching. I have the gift of preaching. And yours immediately the best you can be with that gift. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself this question? I wonder what Billy Graham's first sermon was like. And Steve Childs isn't here. I'm going to pick on him. Do you ever wonder what Steve Childs' first Sunday school lesson was like? And he'll tell you that it's not what it looks like today. Maybe you're wondering, I wonder what Pastor Brian's first Sunday school lesson, actually it wasn't, it was a teen lesson, or my first sermon was like. Well, if you really, really, really want to know what my first sermon was like, I'll give you a copy. There's no record of my first teen lesson, but you can ask my wife. It's very different than it is now because I've exercised it. I've gotten better. The bottom line is, just like any skill or talent, the more we exercise our spiritual gifts, the more we learn from our efforts, our mistakes, what went well, what didn't work, what worked, we get feedback, we strive to improve, the more we will improve. The more we'll get better. The more effective and more useful tool we become in God's hands and for His plan to serve Him and serve others. What are spiritual gifts? When do we get them? Who decides what I get? Question number 4. Why am I given them? Why am I given spiritual gifts? Well, there's a multitude of reasons. We're going to touch on some of them. The first one is because of God's grace. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. This verse comes before the passage in Ephesians where it talks about gifts. We already saw the word charisma earlier as a verb to show favor, to show grace, which is what God did, not only at salvation, but with the giving of spiritual gifts to each and every one of us. Each of us has at least one. Some may have more. It is a gift. We are given them because of God's grace. We are given them because it is proof that Jesus Christ was victorious. The next verse, we just saw verse 7, this is verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The gifts believers are given are a demonstration, a proof that Jesus is who he said he is, did what he said he would. He defeated sin, he defeated death and the grave. They are a sign, a symbol that he is victorious. They were also given to you because God wanted you to have them. God wanted you to have them. Look at back at our passage of 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Therefore, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is all the same God who works all in all. And then verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Distributing as he wills. God knew what was the best gift for you. He knew that when he gave you the box, what was in it was exactly what you should have and exactly what you need and exactly what he wanted you to have. God knew what was best for you. Maybe it would be better to say God knew what was the perfect gift for you. But sometimes we don't like the gifts, right? We don't like the gifts we get. If you know what your spiritual gift is, are you disappointed? Are you disappointed that God gave you that gift versus a different gift? Well, I really wanted this one, God. Why didn't you give me this one? You feel like it should have been something more, something better, something different. I didn't want this, God. I wanted something else. Are you disappointed with the gift God has given you or the gifts God has given you? Or do you look at others and say, I want what they have? I might think that. I might even say that. I wish I had their gifts. I want what God gave them. Why didn't God give me that? instead of what he gave me. That is so much better and so much cooler than the gift I got. Are you envious of the gifts that God has given others? God also gave you the gift to serve others. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. In the passage in Ephesians that talks about gifts, Paul says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Your gifts aren't about you. They're about other people and what God can do through you in their lives, how you can help them. When 1 Peter, he says this, as each one has given or received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's given for you to help and serve others. Why do you use your gifts? If you know what they are and you're exercising them, why? Is it for your benefit, for your glory, for your profit, your praise, your recognition? Or is it to serve, help, build up others, help them grow, mature, overcome sin? Ultimately, your gift is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, if you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That includes exercising your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, therefore whatever you eat, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, even the mundane, non-spiritual, is to glorify God. But specifically, the use of spiritual gifts. Peter goes on to say in his epistle, says, each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Glorifying God is the reason you have been given spiritual gifts. Not so you get the praise. Not so I get the praise. Not so that we get glory when we do well and God uses us, but God does, because he gave us the gift. Just like salvation, we don't deserve the gift. We didn't earn the gift. So we don't deserve or earn the glory. God does. Spiritual gifts are to draw attention and glorify God. We've already seen that. Spiritual gifts are to draw attention to and glorify God. Why do you use your spiritual gifts? Is it to glorify God, the one who gave them to you, or is it to glorify you? When you are recognized for using your gift, do you point others to God? If you do, how often? Some of you have learned that when you come out and say something about one of my messages, that I'm going to say, I'm glad God could use me. And some of you have learned to stop what you're thinking and say, I'm glad, or then you, instead of talking about what I said, I'm glad God showed me this here. I'm glad God spoke to me today. That is outstanding. I'm not up here because of getting praise and glory for me. I am trying to use my gifts to glorify God and to serve you. Four answers about spiritual gifts this morning. Four answers. What are they and what aren't they? Before this morning, were you ignorant, were you unaware, agnostic about spiritual gifts? You are no longer an agnostic about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not the same thing as natural talents and abilities. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. They're for Christians only, disciples of Jesus Christ. They are to draw attention to and glorify God. You get yours and I get mine at the very moment of salvation. It is part of becoming a new creation. It is part of becoming God's son or daughter. Who decides what you get? God decided a lot of things about you. Your height, your weight, your hair color, your need for glasses, your eye color, your ethnic background, where you live. Each of us is as unique spiritually as we are physically. How do I know which ones I've been given, or how can I find out? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? You've got to start there. You don't have a spiritual gift without having a salvation experience. You do not have a spiritual gift without being a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Second, are you growing in your walk with God? Are you spending time in His Word, spending time praying individually, corporately? Are you spending time praying for yourself and others, asking God to help you understand and recognize your spiritual gift? Are you in community? Are you looking for other people's help in your walk with God, spending time with them, talking about what you're learning, what you're struggling with, where you're being challenged, what you're studying, asking their input about your gifting, both naturally and spiritually? And you're not saying automatically, as soon as they say, I see this, nope, that's not me. Don't dismiss or quickly reject what others see in you, especially if they know you well, especially if they are wise and have walked with the Lord a long time. Fourth, if you've never taken one, discover your spiritual gift. Take a quiz, a evaluation and assessment. Again, this is a tool. It's not written in stone. It's not scripture, but it is a tool to help you assess what gifts God may have given you. One, if you are at step four or wherever you are, remember, you are accountable for the gift you've been given. You, even if you've never opened the box, you are accountable because you've been given that box and what's in it. If you are at step four, exercise your gifts. How are you exercising your gift? Where are you exercising your gift? Because it's not just turning on a light. You've got to exercise it. You've got to develop it. What is the next step you need to take in regards to your spiritual gift? Why, Pastor Brian, why am I given all these gifts? Because God loves you. Because He gave you grace. Because it proves that Jesus Christ is who He said He is, was victorious, has died, been buried, and risen again, and is coming back. And because God wanted you to have them. Don't be disappointed by what God has given you. He knew what you needed. He knew what was best for you, what was perfect for you. Don't be looking at others and saying, I wish I had what they had. I wish God would have given me that. I want that. Theirs is much better than what God gave me. You're also given them because you are to serve others. And you are to serve others and not yourself. You are to serve others so that God gets the glory. Why do you use your spiritual gifts? Is it to glorify God, the one who gave them to you? Or is it to glorify you? When you are recognized for your spiritual gift, for exercising it, for using it, do you use that opportunity to point others to God? What has God spoken to you about this morning in regards to your spiritual gifts? Maybe you're at step one. You need to become a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to respond to the gospel for the first time so He can give you that spiritual gift and then you can open it. Maybe it's identifying what it is. Maybe it's being accountable and exercising it and using it and pointing others to Him when you use it. Are you going to live like who you are? Are you going to live like who you are this morning? Are you going to identify, use your spiritual gifts? Are you going to use it to glorify God and to serve others? What is the next step you need to take this morning with respect to your spiritual gift? Father, we thank You. Thank You that we're not, You didn't leave us as agnostics. That You gave us instructions, much more than we could cover this morning, about spiritual gifts. Lord, each one of us is in a process of identifying, using, or exercising and developing our spiritual gifts. Lord, help us to understand where we are in that process, number one, but help us to take the next step, whether that's to respond to the gospel for the first time, whether that is to discover what our gifts are, whether that is to be accountable for our gifts, or whether that is to be exercising our gifts with the right motivation, not for our glory, but for Your glory, to point others to You and to serve and edify and build up the believers here in People's Baptist Church of Newfield, New York, and the other believers we have contact with and are connected to. Lord, I ask that we would step out of here wrestling with where we are in the process, which step we're at and what the next step is we need to take, that we would be committed and be accountable for doing that, to responding to Your word this morning. We ask that You would be pleased, not only with what has been said this morning, but as we respond to what You've spoken to us about, that we would be accountable and that we would be desiring to honor and glorify you with, no matter what we do. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. Deciding to follow Jesus begins with responding to the gospel and becoming a child of his. But it doesn't end there. He then expects you to open that gift and to use it to point others to him, to help them understand what you have understood, to help them grow. Where are you in the process of following Jesus? At the beginning, in the middle, are you exercising and deploying and using your spiritual gifts? Are you developing them? And are you giving glory to God and serving others with them? Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be back here. We'll be in Genesis chapter 19, maybe into 20. And then 7 o'clock tonight, pursue. Have a great afternoon.